Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum to my brothers and sisters, and peace be unto you all. Welcome you to today's program, and we ask Allah's grace and blessing to be with us during our presentation and bring to you that which is so very important to our people, to make us a people who will be able to see into the future, the same way every other generation or every other culture is able to look into the future and make plans for their people. We open with Allah's name, Most Merciful Benefactor, the Most Merciful Redeemer. All praise is due to Allah alone. We seek help from him. We ask forgiveness from him. I bear witness there is no deity except Allah alone, and I bear witness that Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is his messenger to mankind. To bring a message to mankind that is a life-giving message. The human being is the one creature that just does not evolve on instincts alone. Most creatures evolve on their natural instincts. And that's what they live by day, week by week, their natural instincts. If you would see a herd of buffalo, for example, or deer, they tend to follow one of the strongest in the pack, or the one they call the leader, and they follow him to the end. In fact, there are some animals like Malibus and other animals that will follow their leader to their death. If the leader is running and away and does not see the oncoming danger of a cliff, per se, that ends the road or ends that area in which they're running, as he goes over the cliff, hundreds and thousands will go behind him because they're going by instinct. They're going by instinct. The human being does not go on instinct alone. The human being has been given the ability to make decisions out of his instinct. In fact, can make decisions against the instinct. The human being has been created to be able to soar above the natural development of the creation. The human being has been given a mind. The mind to reshape, redo the ideas and concepts that come before us from our previous generation. This is the nature of the human being. And the use of the mind is so very important, and it's so very important to understand it. I welcome you to Inheriting the Power of Mental Freedom, the information-rich program that is broadcasted each week here on AM 360. I am Imam Shahid Abdullah, the African Bilali and American Griot, and the host of this program of enrichment that airs every Tuesday evening, 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time. Tonight we're going to talk about probably the most important issue that we can discuss. And when I say talk, we'll be doing most of the talking because we're going to do the lead-in. But we do expect some comments from you, the listener. We do expect some comments. And what do you think? Because the question that's going to be presented is of dire nature. It's a question that some civilizations that came before us was unable to answer or refused to answer, and they didn't survive. We have the opportunity to do more than what they did, but many of us do not even know the question. So this evening, we're going to present the question and discuss the ramifications around this question so that we can have a clear understanding about our time we live in and our responsibility to that time and what be done and what can be put in place to achieve that responsibility. During the program, we will have you will have the opportunity to ask questions or make comments simply by pushing the button or pushing the one on your phone. And we'll see you and bring you into the queue, and then you can ask your question and I'll make your comment. Because the time is limited, we simply just ask you to be precise about your question or your comment and then proceed. Our goal is to really to get deep into this idea, deep into this thinking that many of us try to sidestep, and we try not to pay attention to it. We try to get around it, although it's staring us in the face. It stares us in the face every time we crack open a history book, every time we look at the science, every time we hear the politicians talking about the pros and cons and the rights and the discontentment of the society. Every time we hear a governor says that how he's going to run or she's going to run the government of their state, and that process hampers the growth and development of the African-American people. Some of you, you must ask yourself the question, and it's almost impossible not to ask the question, why is it that we continue to get the short end of the stick, America, in this world? They used to say years ago, the European used to tell us, tell our foreparents the lie that we were cursed, by the Creator during the time of Noah, when Noah's son saw him drunken, naked, and he laughed, so God cursed him. That's a lie that the European American tells in his books and in his literature. He says he cursed Noah's son to be African or black in color, skin color. Some Africans bought that. Some Africans, even African Americans who are here in America, bought that idea. They attend the churches with this thinking in mind that the European sells the idea that the African was cursed by God because he laughed at his father who was drunk laying naked on the deck of the ship or boat. Now, most of you who listen to this station have been blessed to be able to come past some enlightened leaders, enlightened people who had understanding about these concepts and ideas that are in the Bible and the Torah and Quran, that many of them are just ideas and concepts about situations. And those situations, once we figure out what the signs mean, what these words mean up to, when you know that words make people. And we have to learn what the words mean in these texts, especially the religious texts. And those of us who have been blessed to come by those religious leaders who took us into a deeper understanding. Some of you who may be Christian, you know that you had Reverend Price out on the East Coast who used to go into the deeper understanding about this situation in the world, and especially in America. And those of you who are maybe on the East Coast, you're part of the groups that talk about the black Israelites who are going deeper into their understanding about what is happening to the mind of the people as they're being told these lies. You got Reverend Henderson. He talks about it. And, of course, those of you who have come through the Nation of Islam heard not just a little bit, but not just a mouthful, but a great deal of it coming from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad inserting the pure enlightenment that opened the mind of hundreds of us, to the understanding that was brought by Imam Rafi Muhammad. In all of the talks and the lectures given to the African-American people by leaders who did come into some understanding, much of it was lost in the confusion of some of those lies and schemes that were put in place by the European-American and by those predators, financial and political predators who came before the European-American, who came from Europe, who began to shape the world after they came into some knowledge according to how they can make it benefit themselves and their children. This question that we want to ask, and not necessarily ask, but we want to present to you, put before you, the question deals with survival. The question deals with survival. What do you think about survival? Do you think, when you read in the Quran, when you read in the Torah, when you read in the Bible, when you read in the philosophies of other people, that survival, do you read that as a reality? Or do you read it as part of a story to frighten people for a moment so they can keep control of their mind? How do you read it? How do you see that? And if you see it as being real, as the sun in the sky and the moon at night, then what is it that you're doing in reaction to it? What are you doing? What are we doing in terms of the reality of this concept of survival? You know, many times this comes off as a Hansel and Gretel kind of story, Mary had a little lamb kind of story, because the European American keeps the African American people's mind frustrated with these stories. Because if the African American begin to think and stop and think, as they was advised by Imam Rafi Muhammad, when he says, follow the logic to his logical conclusion. And those of you who were not necessarily his supporters, but you read Quran, and in Quran, Quran time after time says, follow the logic. Follow the reasoning that Allah puts before you. And in following that reasoning, the human being is geared to come to the correct answer, as long as we follow the reason, to the reasoning, to the logical conclusion. Follow the logic. Once we do that, we are on the path on which we were created. Think for yourselves easily. Would your God create you to be illogical? Would the creator of man create man to be an illogical creature on purpose? Would the creator create man to go wrong? Would the creator created man to be a devil? These are questions that we have to run through our minds and come out on the other end with some logic. It is illogical to think a creator is good and he creates you to be bad. It is illogical to think that a creator is great and creates the human being to be one who follows fancy as being the nature in which he was created. That's why it's so important for us to be able to understand the power of logic. Because the Creator created this whole creation on the foundation of logic. It is not unreasonable. It is not unreasonable. The scientists who study this creation 24 hours a day, every time they come up with an answer to something they thought was strange, they see the logic in it. They see the logic in it. They see the logic how this works because of what was working before. They read the creation, find in that creation logic that speaks to logic, understanding that comes from logic. Those who were blessed to follow the text or understanding that we find in Bible and Quran when it talks about Ibrahim. Ibrahim is an example of what happens when the human being follows the logic. He comes to the correct answer. The human being who follows logic comes to the correct answer. Ibrahim asked his parents, the people of the generation before him, why do they follow a God that they create with their own hands? That's illogical. Why would you follow a God that you create? How can he be the God of you when you created him? This is Ibrahim's thinking. And when you read the books, you will find that to be true. And then Ibrahim searched in his own mind. He searched in the universe. He searched, the scripture uses the universe as a symbol of material thinking, material logic. Trying to find something first in the material, that which was closest to the human being. And then stretch the mind into the imagination of what could and what possibly could come from that. And then the human being comes to the logic. When he studies and looks into his own mind, his own existence, he will come to the same conclusion that Ibrahim came to. He says, that what created me the first time is my creator, is the creator, is God. He used logic. Now, the scripture encourages us to use logic. Turn away from logic because it seems as though it was 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago when these scriptures were written. So we don't use logic today because they didn't live in our time. No, the mind doesn't change in its basic way of operating. The mind doesn't change from one generation to the next. The mind remains the same, and it grows in information. It grows in information that it receives as we create new things. But its pattern is the same. It follows the logic. The mind follows the logic to its logical conclusion. That's how the scientists come to these great inventions or come to these great ideas and concepts. Even though some of the inventions we speak about and use today are coincidental, they say, or accidental, they say. But they never would have come to them had not they been following the logic. They were following the logic of something else. And then God blessed them for their efforts to find something they didn't even see. They didn't even know existed. But because they followed the logic that God created in them from the very beginning, they was able to find this coincidental situation. You've heard of the stories about the different appliances and science things that came in existence by accident. Because they're following the logic. Now, does that just account for just scientists? Scientists are the only ones that should be following the logic of the creation in order to solve certain problems and concepts and ideas that they may have in their minds? Or is this a tool that everyone can use to better their lives and direct their future? Is it a tool that's created in man by the Creator? We get away from that idea of logic so easily. Many of us heard Imam Muhammad say that. And we come right back to the dark room of illogic. We come right back to the dark concept of something that's just not even rational. And we hold on to that thinking and think we are holding on to something just because we use Imam Muhammad's language or the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's name. No. If you're not following, if we're not following the logic of what we are trying to move into from one day to the next, we're not following the principles that were created in those individuals to give to us so we can develop the future. You even find some of them today tell you, don't be logical. God don't want you to be logical. God just say, believe in God. Believe in the book, they holler. And when in the beginning of the book, in fact, in the beginning of the Quran, after the Fatiha, you run directly into the logic. When the scripture says, Ali Kitabu Rarai Fihuzala Mutaki, says, this, just by saying this, makes you understand that this is logical. It's not that, it's not something you got to go hunt for. It says, this in it. This kitab, meaning that this logic is not just a book like you would say, a book about cars and things of that nature. It's talking about the logic that builds on itself. It's talking about the logic that reveals the ideas and concept of what was mentioned before so that you can build on that in the future. So this is the book that's guidance for those who have taqwa. Now, we know taqwa is something that's created in every human being, which is an inclination to want to do right. For those who have an inclination to want to do right, this is a guide for them. That's very logical. What's illogical or unlogical by saying that this is a book for those who have taqwa, or some say reverence of God, some say fear of God, but those who have taqwa. This is a book for, isn't it logical that this book can be trusted by those people? They don't need to try to circumvent illogical things with the logic that presents. And there's some logic in the Quran that Allah has that he says, save yourself first, then your family. Then you can go on and on. But save yourself first. Now, the logic of that. You know when you get on an airplane, the stewardess tell you, put on your breathing apparatus first and then the child, because that's logical. If you faint or go out, the child would die. But this logic is all in the creation. That's why you see the animals and the grass and the trees and all of the things behave the way they do, because they're in that spirit of logic. They have no choice. Allah created them in that spirit of logic. But he gave the human being the power, authority, to change that which it or he or she believe they can change or don't believe they can change. They still have the power to try to change it, to resist it, to not even believe it or to believe it. The human being could go either way. The first thing that the human being accepts, especially those who accept Islam, the first thing they accept is they say, La ilaha illallah. That means there is no. They say no first, because the human being has the power to say no. Has the power to say no. The human being is a special creature. Special creature. It's so special that when you read in the scripture, the angels, the Malaika, stand while the Creator would create something with such power to obey or not obey. And then not only the human being has the power to obey or not obey, the angels were given the opportunity to see the power, the physical power, to see the intellectual power, see what this human being can do, see how this human being can develop out of the earth. He can develop an atomic bomb, a weapon of mass destruction. See how the human being can transplant hearts, have all this power to change the creation. The Malaika said, well, how, why would you create such a creature that could never do this creation? Then, of course, the Creator said, as you know, he said that I know what you know not. Now, I know this is elementary to many of you, this kind of talk. But sometimes it's very important to look at the elementary. Sometimes it's very important to look at the elementary because we can get ourselves so involved with our own mind, our own intellect that's given to us by another group of people, and we lose the basic elements, that intellect, that element, the element of elementary, how to follow the logic to its logical conclusion. That's very elementary. That's the first step in science. The first step in building, the first step in doing is follow the logic. And the Quran supports that over and over. I'm given this simplicity or this logic because the question is very important that we have to look at. The question is impacting. The question is one that we have to address. It doesn't make any difference whether we want to address it or not, because it's going to have to be addressed. No more power that you had on bringing yourself into this world, that was decided by your parents. You didn't go to your parents and say, bring me into the world. No. They made that decision to bring you into the world. This logic is the same logic that exists in the creation that the Creator has created. And this logic is very simple. Very, very simple. It began at the early stages of the human being. The early stages of the human being, before the human being became so sophisticated that he could build and develop things. It came at the very root of the human being's existence. The human being was created to multiply. I even heard some people say, some women especially, because they felt as though they'd been mistreated, and to be honest with you, they have been. But the point is that many of them have taken a negative point, so you think I'm just created to have babies. You see, both male and female was created for that. That wasn't just for the female. That is for the male and female, because if the male and female coming to having babies, then there's no male and female. There's no human being. That's a simple logic that's in the creation. So we don't have to get bent out of shape because this society makes the women think that being a mother is something wrong, something bad, or make the father think there's something wrong with having children. There's something going to take him down, make him weaker if he has to raise a family, if he has to teach his sons and nourish his daughters and so forth and so on, is going to make him less of a man. The woman and the man are put into a negative thinking tank or thinking environment by this society because the society would like to see the human being always in a panic mode. Always in a mode that they can control them simply by saying, too much of this will hurt you. Not enough of this is not good for you. Giving all of these different solutions. Make you afraid to cross the street. keep you in this SOS mode. Because this is the way they control the mind so they can make money, wealth, and power. It's what the predators are about, the human predators, about wealth and power. And that begins from the very creation of the human being. So the Creator did not give man a choice. If man had a choice on whether he would have children or not, there's a great possibility that the human being wouldn't even be existing. But because the early man was created with the same instincts as the animal, animal instincts took charge of the existence of the human life like the animal instincts takes charge of life for animals. So we behaved as animals, early man. And we went into reproduction because of what it gave for us, especially the man. It caused them to become, feel great, feel good, feel powerful. Feeling made it possible for the human being, like the animal, to become a creature that reproduces itself, that will sustain his life as a first step evolution of the human being, as the first step in the evolution of the mind, that the life must be here in order for the life to grow. And we can't see that as a negative. We've been conditioned by this society to see that as a negative. No man or woman should see childbirth as a negative. If there's a problem, a death may occur, that's another issue. I was listening to a news broadcast where this gentleman was saying that the rights of a woman. He was saying that every woman should have the right to determine the own destiny of their body. Now, there's truth in that, because they could never get by that if there was some truth in that. But she should be, and the man too. She should be preparing her body for what her body was for, preparing her body to reproduce, be as healthy as she can for reproduction, to give the best to the life that God, Allah, will put in her. And he put it in her through the male. And the man should be thinking the same thing, that he should be taking care of his body so that the sperm would be the strongest and the best it could be when he plants it in the female. And then they both become a part in this creation. Not in this thing they have corrupted creation into, the corrupted the relationship between a man and female into, but they'd be a part of the creation. And they would feel that creation. They would see that creation because they will be a part of the creation that Allah has created. And they would protect it. And then they would cause it to grow. Then they would feed it the physical nourishment it needs. And then the spiritual or the material and the idealistic or ideas and concepts it would need. Information. Give it proper information. Parents should not be waiting till a child get a certain age to determine whether it want to be a male or female. That's the most ridiculous thing the human being has ever said. Tell the child the truth. Just tell the child the truth. Truth sets you free. You heard that many, many times. Just tell the child the truth. The male child has a penis the female child has a vagina, and they both are designed for reproduction, for the creation, for God's creation. Tell them the truth. Every parent should be telling their child the truth, and they should be preaching to their relatives and to their friends and to their neighbors. Tell your children the truth. And then, and if one of them come out with the male apparatus and think he's a female, that percentage would be so low in the society, it wouldn't even be looked at. America and the world is not the first society where you had homosexuality. Homosexuality has been around. But this is the worst, and this is almost like a plague. Because people are encouraged. They are encouraged to be other than themselves. And then they call that themselves. But in the creation, the logic takes control. Because a male and another male can't have children. And a female and another female can't bear children. So if they persist, if man persists on this as a way of life, that life would only be one generation. It would only be one generation because a human being can't reproduce in that way. You have to be a male and a female, a sperm and an egg for the more scientific approach. This is just a simple logic that is just in front of us. It's not hidden. This is not hidden logic. This is not rocket science, as they say, rocket science. This is just plain as the nose on your face. Now, in this logic, in this standing, in this area of bringing our point, and remember now, from the beginning, we talked about our point as being survival. Survival. And we don't want to leave that untouched. We want to see that and get an understanding of what that really means to America, to the world, and more specifically, to the African-American people. Survival is more than just having a job, going to work every day, or being a great athlete, or being a musician, or someone who makes a lot of money. It's more than that. Survival really talks about a people. Survival is not talking about individuals. Once an individual is born into the world, it can make its way in the world. It can learn what the world is about. It can learn how to survive. Almost any part of the world it's in. Once an individual comes, if he's in China or born in China, or born in India, or born in Africa, any part of the world a child is born, they have the capacity within them to survive in that part of the world and grow and develop as an individual. However, for that individual to perpetuate that which it was given by the ones that came before it, because no individual came here on their own. Every individual came through the process of two people, two other people, a male and female, their mother and father. In order for the individual to keep that source alive, the individual must duplicate that same process. The individual must duplicate that process by mating with the male or female to reproduce and have another child like that individual in order for them to go on into the future. In order for that culture continue to grow, it has to deal with that basic, simple process first. It has to deal with that simple process. And that comes from making sure we tell our children the truth. Let them know they're part of this process. Let them know they're part of this creation and what part in the creation they play. Logic. Use the logic that we've been blessed with. We don't have to get into these strange way of thinking that, this way, if he thinks he's a girl, then he's a girl. If he thinks he's a man, then he's a man. We don't have to get into that because that's a lie. What determines a male is the fact that he has a penis, he has testicles, he has all of these things. The female has just the opposite. You heard of the old saying, opposites attract? That's logical. Preachers need to be preaching this. Not just the mothers and fathers and going into the back room or in the kitchen talking to children. The preacher standing on the pulpit needs to teach the truth. The politicians, all of them, need to be teaching the truth. The politicians are afraid of the truth because they want to get the vote. They don't care whether the truth says male and female or male and male or female, if it means for them to win the election. They're looking for votes. They're not looking for survival of the people. They're only looking for their temporary survival of the power they have as a politician for that one generation. Having the sense of this, as African Americans, we have to come to some kind of thinking. And that thinking has to be based on logic. It has to be based on logic. If it's based on anything other than logic, then we will not survive. Now, I know there's some brother Christians and sister Christians out there that say, well, what about it if it's based on the Bible? Then some African, Israelites, black Israelites, they call them, they say, well, it's the Torah. And of course, the Muslims say the Quran. Every one of those books support just what we were just talking about. It supports the logic. It supports the logic of telling the truth, of being truthful. Truth is better than falsehood. All of them support that logic. When truth meets falsehood, as the old saying goes, truth will knock the brains out of the lie, out of the falsehood. Those of us who believe in what we say we believe in, we must stand by that which we say we believe. We can't go for the old, as they say in old times, the okie doke. We have to go for the truth. And when you go for the truth, it's like going for the jugular vein, especially when you're talking about a society that has been crippled by immorality. You got to go for the jugular vein, and the only way to do that is with truth. And each of us have that power. You don't have to wait for a new leader to come along and say, go for the truth. You don't have to wait for that. You don't have to look for that. You've got the book that says that. You have the documents to say that. And in your own heart and your own mind is there. Follow the logic. It's there. You can see past the schemes. You can see past the schemes and the lies that are presented to the world, and all of that a few will be able to live. And a few will be able to. The reality is that we must be sure of that that's presented to us in a scriptural form that we can develop it. I'm sort of speaking sort of slow here because I'm trying to restore a part of the what we've been talking about. We want to just make sure it's all there. And I see that it's here, and I pray that you're able to hear me. Would 708 go out of the queue, push the 1 and go out, and if you hear me, push the 1 and come back in. Okay, I'm not certain we're being heard. I'm not certain I'm being heard right now. Okay, here's another one. If you hear me, if any of you hear me, push the 1 on your phone. Anyone, push the 1 on your phone. There's several people here, so anyone, push the 1 on your phone. Okay. All right. Good. Well, we want to just thank you very much. We want to just make sure that the information that we are given, everyone is hearing it, because much of this information you have too, and I'm not giving you information that you do not have. I'm just giving you the information that I've researched, and I've researched it and then took that part and developed it. And just use that to bring that understanding to each of us. And we have had that done for us by Imam Rafi Muhammad and certainly the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and many before them. We had Father Divine. We had other people who tried to Drew Ali and other people who really was trying to bring the truth to the people. We want to take a short pause, and then we want you to, those of you who have questions, comments, we're going to open the floor after this break. So have your pencils or pens ready. Here we go.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Okay, if you have any questions or want to make any comments, just push the 1 on your phone, and just be precise, and you can ask the question. Okay. All right, we're gonna continue with the topic of the tonight, and that topic is survival. The creation that Allah has created, it carries with it certain laws and rules. And in that, those who miss those laws and rules have to pay the consequences of that mistake or that situation. For the African-American people, it's been brought to our attention, and certainly those of you who've heard Imam Rafi Muhammad or read Frederick Douglass or any of the other great people, you have to come to the conclusion that they saw the African as we were brought from Africa, the west coast of Africa, and those who have come by way of maybe South America or over the Bering Straits and down through Canada who were here before the European, and the ones who came over after slavery. that group of people has been made a new people because of the genetic combining of the people. That genetic makeup made us different than other Africans on the planet. And not only that, we were bred in the course of 1865, around in that area, they began to breed slaves, primarily only in America. And that made us even different, even more of a people. And I know that many of us have been taught to think negative about us so quickly and so in depth that we don't take for one moment that breeding and that marriage or sexual relationships, whatever they tend to give it was a benefit. It wasn't a benefit to those who are getting raped, because getting raped is not a pleasure. But that doesn't preclude the idea that Allah can bless the sperm of the victim who was raped to be a great human being or better human being. That doesn't make that impossible. Why would the mother be punished again? A mother being raped by force, now her child come out an evil person, is a double punishment. Is a punishment for a crime that she didn't commit. She didn't commit the rape. She was raped, forcibly raped. So doesn't it stand more to reason when you use your logic that particular child, given the creator the mercy and all of the things we see that create the most benevolent, all of those things, doesn't it make more sense that child going to come out and be a good human being, or even a great human being? It doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it does make more sense for that possibility to exist. And the reason the European American doesn't talk like that, because that would make you feel more confident in yourself. It would give you more confidence, give the African more confidence, that the people who were raped physically and mentally and spiritually going to give birth to, that God will bless them to be better. Well, that's a powerful motivation factor that would motivate the African-American people. You can't go back and unrape the situation. You can't go back and unslave the slave. You can't go back in the history and change that. So the positive aspect to that is that the God who created the human being blessed those who went through that forcible treatment during that particular time, where their offsprings will be great. We don't even have to argue the point whether that's true or not. The fact of the matter that it could be, possibly, it may be, it may not be, but the point is that that's a choice. We can give that as a choice as opposed to not giving it. An option. That's what that is, an option. You have an option to tell a story. We have the option to tell a story of something that happened that benefited the human being or didn't benefit the human being. You see, and what story is told most? The story that's told most is the one where the slave get the lashing on the back, the slave get hung on the trees. That's told most. Told most about the Jim Crow era. That's told most. But the reality is, when you look at the history and dug deep, you should study and look at the history of the African people. They have advanced so rapidly in America, even under all that treatment, it would hint to that idea that they were created with special genetic makeups or special spirituality or something special to give them an advantage in the midst of all this disadvantages they are part of. And here we are striving for the lead. Yes, it's a possibility. And that's all we're talking about. We don't have to talk about the reality. The reality is whatever it is. But the possibility is what will motivate our children and our children's children. That's what will motivate them. The possibility that that could be in them. The possibility that they can be descendants of a people that God blessed because of what happened to them, what happened to their children. Thought more about that and more like that, then the whole situation wouldn't be as negative as what they talk about the post-traumatic slave syndrome. That's a negative thinking. That's because you can't go back and change the slavery. Now, that what affects your behavior today, you lost. You lost in the chains and the bonds of history. Now, one idea. We're not saying people can't have that kind of idea, but the logic of it, it's better for the people who exist today to have an idea or have a feeling that the possibility can be that the creator of the creation gave them an advantage because of what happened to their forefathers. Not a disadvantage. You see, this society get us to make that look at that as a disadvantage. Then that's a human way of looking at it. But look at it a way of a just God, a just creator, one who created man to be the Khalifa. What would be the just situation? What would be the humane situation? What would be the situation to wipe away all of that rape, all of that bad deeds that was done, would be that that generation that coming down the line would have a better opportunity to succeed in life than the people who came before them. They don't want to talk like that because that's too much motivation. That would cause us to, that our, you think the our people will be standing out on the corner looking for handouts, or they thought they were children from a situation that God's going to bless them to be better than any other people because of that situation? They can't go back and change it. You see, that locks us into being productive, that kind of thinking, because you can't go back and change it. So, okay, it existed. So now God is obligated to benefit the children, the offsprings of them who had committed no crime, who have done nothing wrong, obligated. He obligates himself to correct the situation. That language, that thinking, would motivate the African American people far and above the things that are going on today. But they don't tell us that. They tell us about the Jim Crow, which is a lie. They tell us about the Jim Crow concept, which is a big lie. They tell us that Jim Crow was a time that the African American was deprived. That was one of the biggest mistakes the European American made. The Jim Crow was really about a minstrel singer during that time. But during that time, when they said that the Africans started in 1896, when the slavery was considered to be constitutional. Not slavery, pardon me, with segregation. Segregation was considered to be institutional. Segregation was looked at as constitutional. It was looked at as a way that didn't negate people enslaving, of segregating people from their businesses and things of that nature. And what happened after that? Those of you who have read this history, you know that between the time of 1896, when they started that, to 1932, when a report was done on the results of that, they found that the African people advanced further than any other group in America, opened up banks all over America, opened up hotels, built cars. Patterson was making cars during that time, establishing a railroad train and tracks and everything that goes with it. They said that the African people during that particular time became as self-sufficient, and this is the words they used in this report. It's called the Negro Market. Those of you who don't have it, you can just go online and get it. the African, they use the term Negro. The Negro advanced in terms of self-sufficiency as any nation would have done in that situation. Now, the term used is the word nation. That's very powerful. And you know, that would go back to our other point that we made a few minutes ago. Wouldn't it only be just if God blessed the offspring of the people who were raped and beat and all of that, blessed their offspring to be future achievers? It goes back to that. And you know what else? I don't know if any of you remember the time of around 1986, some of that time, and some of you might not be old enough to remember that, but around that time, a fellow by the name of Jiminy Greek, I might be a little off on that date, but those of you who heard of Jiminy Greek, who was a sportscaster of odds fixer in football and baseball, the professional ranks, he was asked a question at a nightclub when he was out after getting off from work. He was asked a question. He said, do you think that the black, they would use the term black, do you think the term black, do you think black people will ever be coaches, NFL or the baseball league? And Jiminy Greek said, why not? I think they already dominate this the football. They would dominate the sports. They would dominate that too. And they won't be any place for the white guy. This is what Jiminy Greek said. And he said, he used this term. He said, they have been breeded. They have been breeded to be superior. They have been breeded to be superior with their high thighs and strength and speed. You can go online and find this talk. Jiminy Greek, look it up. Jiminy Greek, you see it in person. You hear him say that. He was fired the very next day because they didn't want the cat out the bag. You heard the old saying, let the cat out the bag? Well, that's what he did. They didn't want the cat out the bag, and the African Americans during that time didn't know any better. They said, well, he's a racist. He wasn't being a racist. He was just being honest with what he thought. But what he was being honest about was so impacting that if African-American people had just stopped for one moment and thought about it and thought about the possibility of us having an edge over anyone else because of what happened during slavery, that would motivate us more. The African or the Negro or the black people were so used to allowing the European American to beat them down that they couldn't take a position of being blessed by God. Who else would bless you? Who else would bless the human being to be whatever he is except the Creator? You don't want to give God the credit when it comes down to bringing the African Americans from the bottom rung to the top. They don't want to give God the credit even. They'll give God the credit for doing some other stuff, but they won't give God the credit for making the African American people a people who can become almost supreme, superior, or definitely advanced in everything they try to do or achieve. Now, I know you don't hear much about this kind of talk nowadays, but I just want you to think about it. That's all that is thinking about it. To follow the logic to its logical conclusion. That's what Imam Muhammad was talking. He said, okay, just follow the logic to its logical conclusion. He knew that eventually we're going to come to some of these answers if we thought. If we stop following the logic, we won't come to anything. We'll stay in the frustrated place that we are in, and we won't be able to come out of that frustration. But the moment we turn ourselves to the logic, then we can start thinking logical. We need to and should be teaching our children how to be successful on a massive scale. Not the big. Not to worry about going to college or going to some trade school and begging, coming out and begging the European for a job. No, getting that knowledge to come out and build their own institutions. Build their own institutions of education and not the kind of education that the European has given them, but the education that will come from their thinking of their own logic, using their own logic. Carter G. Woodson and other African Americans. It's very important for us to be able to look at the logic and the power of that logic in order to be able to make it progress. Now, those of you who would like to ask questions or make comments, you can do so by just pushing the one on your phone, and you could come in and make a comment or ask the questions. But we are simply just bringing about a point tonight, and we're trying to deal with this subject of survival. Survival. And the reason we chose that subject is because some of us are not really even aware of the situation. And some of us are not even aware of a situation about survival of the African-American people. Some of us just moving merrily along because we only think of it in terms of one generation. You see, as long as we think that I'm okay as a person, we don't think in terms of the person who comes from me 5 generations down the line may not or may be here, depending on my behavior, depending on what we do now, will affect those who are coming down the line, whether they would be in existence or not. I've heard a brother say one time about they just need the Quran. And what they missed the idea of survival. The Quran is going to survive. For those of you who read Quran, you know that Allah says in Quran, he's Hafiz Quran. Now, if Allah says in the Quran, he's Hafiz Quran, where is the Quran going? Nowhere. The Quran is going to survive through every generation. It's going to survive through every people. It doesn't have to. The Quran doesn't have to be wait to be read by African or African American or Chinese or European. Anyone is a human being. The Quran, the religion, refers to anyone and accept the religion of Islam. It's not talking about that. What it is talking about is that Sodom and Gomorrah is not here. It's talking about other groups that are not here because they did not adhere to what Allah says they must do in order to remain here in terms of generations. There were over 65 million Native Americans in America when the European came here. Now they're down to a couple million. It used to be everywhere you look, you'll see European Americans. All the way down from Connecticut, all the way down to Delaware, South Carolina, Georgia, all over, Native Americans, all over America. Now, few of them exist. So, some of them, like the Massachusetts, is extinct. The Massachusetts, the tribe of people who call the Massachusetts in America, when the European came here, they're extinct now. They do not exist anymore. Their language is gone. Then you have others, the Aztecs, a few million left. There used to be 40 million Aztecs out there by Mexico. This is a reality. And it's one that we must look at. Now, I do understand the difficulty we have in trying to see the separation that must be seen in order for us to determine how we respond. We still want to be European American, so much so we don't see ourselves as separate. Allah created everybody different, right down to their fingerprints. Everybody's different. We shouldn't be ashamed of that difference. We should be proud of that difference. We shouldn't think our lives would only get better if we're someone else or some other people. We should know that Allah created us, and that's enough, so we can grow and develop. But some of us, if you don't include the European American in the discussion, they don't want to have the discussion. And they don't realize that in around 1884, around in that area, that Berlin had there was a meeting in Berlin called the Berlin Conference. Bismarck led the meeting. All European countries got together and wrote treaties and divided up all of the world, and especially Africa, amongst themselves. They didn't include the Africans as being part ownership. They saw the Africans as being dominated. And those Africans who did not agree with their dominations, they killed them, murdered hundreds and millions of them were killed by the European during that colonializing Africa. Should we be like them? Absolutely not. There's another way. Don't think the only way of life is the way that the European has been showing us. We have to stop thinking that. The European lived their life that they lived as a result of being in Europe all of those hundreds of years, living those sort of meager existence. They created the kind of life they thought they should have. And once they got out of Europe, out of the ice, some say a refrigerator, but it wasn't quite like that. But it's bad in terms of human growth. It didn't lend itself to human development in terms of intellect. It didn't lend itself to that. The intellect didn't start really growing until the Moors came in, and it took the Moors 600 to 800 years to educate the European. The European was so far behind in the development of humanity that it took the Moors to come out of Africa into Spain. Portugal didn't exist then. Into Spain and parts of France and other parts, and build schools and universities and teach them etiquette and teach them how to live and educate them. It took almost 800 years for them to do that. I mean, if we just thought about that, just think about it for a minute. And this will tell you how intelligent the European people are, and why we shouldn't even think about wanting to follow them unless or not go in front, because we are not told by them. It took 800 years of Moore's existence in Europe, educating them, building school systems, teaching them the etiquette, building streets, building hospitals and universities, all those, to bring them out to what they call the Dark Ages. Don't think so highly of the people just because they are in charge of you today or yesterday. They really ain't in charge today, but we give them that authority. Don't think so highly of them. Some of them know what I'm talking about to be the truth. And some of them are trying to achieve greater achievement than they know their people have gone through before. It's a reality that we should face as African Americans. We live in an environment today that is somewhat just, have a little bit more justice than before. The scheme's a little undercover. They used to didn't have to even have a scheme. They used to just come in and murder people. But they have a scheme now. The European has a scheme. He's in Israel now. See, most people think that those are Jews over there. Most people think those are Hebrews. But no, they're not. They're Europeans. They're Europeans who adopted Judaism, adopted the Jewish religion when the Jews came through Europe. and it, with the Roman Empire, when the Romans came into Europe, up in France and Poland and all those areas, there were Jewish people with them because the Jews were merchants. And up down that time, the Ashkenazi people, who were European people, adopted the religion of Judaism. And they are the ones that came out of Europe into Israel, made a deal with England, came out of Europe into Israel, and formed this what some may even call a Nazi regime called a Zionist. There's no such thing as a Zionist in religion. It's a political position that the European put together in order to try to get rule of the world through that policy with the American or United States supporting them. This is history. Look it up. Check it out yourself. Don't just listen to the TV and the radio or whatever you listen to. With the language they want to make you believe is a religion fight. Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, they get along. They get along. It's the people who come into those religions who try to get power with using those religions. You know in the Quran when it says that Satan says to Allah that he's going to come before and befine him, he's going to come in the Sarata Mustaqim to deceive the human being, straightway. In other words, in all of the religious paths, the religion is the straightway. It's going to come in that form with their schemes and their Zionist ways and their Gestapo concepts. That's what Hitler used. Hitler used the same thing in Germany. That's how he got control and almost got control of the world, using that same philosophy. We have to look at the world as it is and follow the logic in order to make a better situation for ourselves and our people. We have to understand that we are living in dangerous times, not so much for the bombings and things of that nature, people getting shot in the streets. That goes on and on. Not for that. But I'm talking about in times that the possibility of extinction is on the doorstep of the African-American people. You see, when we look at the logic, we begin to understand that the African-American people were formed here in America. We're not formed from a country in Africa. We are a mixture of those after they came here. But we are not from one country. The only one country we are from is this one here in America. This is our place of origin. And in order for us to keep growing and develop, we're going to have to use the logic that Imam Muhammad expressed to us. If we don't use it, we can become extinct. And I know that some don't think that's possible, but that's because they're not looking at history. They read Sodom and Gomorrah and don't believe it. They don't believe that. They read it, but they don't believe that because, well, they all those people was gay or something like that. God wouldn't destroy us. Don't be so sure. And ask yourself this question. Was it not God who allowed the European to rape the slave? No European could have ever raped any slave had not God allowed it. There's no man planet nowhere strong as the Creator. So if anything happens, he allowed it to happen for a reason. Or he makes it happen. So don't think that we won't be destroyed or can't be destroyed. That's an arrogant way of thinking. That's some kind of thinking that comes out of some kind of comic book or something. The reality is whoever is in the crosshairs of destruction by whatever means that is can be destroyed. And if the Creator doesn't wish for them to be destroyed, he will send them information. He will send them logic. And as the Quran and Torah and Bible puts it, messengers. You send them. That's what messengers do. They come with a message from the creator of all the creation for a particular people to say, holy, wait a minute, you're going wrong. You got to change your ways or you're going to run into a lot of problems. What do you think Imam Muhammad was doing? Not saying he was a messenger. He never said anything like that, so I don't want anybody to run away with that kind of thinking. He never said that. But what do you think he was saying? What do you think the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was saying? All of them was talking about saving our lives, because of what can happen in the future. Now, I didn't hear any of them talk about the sub-replacement fertility rate. Sub-replacement fertility birth rate. You should know what that is. We should know what that is. And if you do not know what that is, you should go to, as soon as it's off this program here, go to the YouTube and ask, what is the sub-replacement fertility rate? And how does it affect the lives of any group you want to name? The Jewish group, Italians, any group, it'll tell you that the sub-replacement fertility rate is that any group of people, whatever their nationality, whatever their culture is, if they do not have children, two children, by a woman, by a, one particular woman, meaning that each woman has to average, you're talking about an average now, have two children that live to 15 years old, one to replace herself and one to replace her mate. Now, of course, women have more children than that and some have no children. But it has to balance out that. That's the sub-replacement fertility rate. It's a law in the creation to balance the creation. And when a people can no longer meet that requirement, the people begin to come extinct. Just a law. Why do we say that we're in danger? Because we are approaching that. We were at 10 to 15 years ago, the sub-replacement fertility rate, it remained steady. It always remained steady. They must have 2.15 children, the one female. African Americans were having 2.5 children over 10 years ago. Now, the average is down to 1.88. You think the European are going to come out and say, hey, look, you know what? You need to start having more babies and stop trying to, you men need to stop trying to be women and women need to stop trying to be men and better have some more babies. Y'all won't be here to be nothing. They're not going to come and tell you that. They're not going to come and tell you you shouldn't be taking drugs because you're not going to be here. Your people are not going to be here. You're not having enough children. And that's what it boils down to. You're not having enough children. And I've heard some African Americans say to me, man, all these children I see out here in this street, black people got children everywhere. See, that's because they ain't looking anywhere. They're looking at the couple they see down the street or some people in their neighborhood. They're not multiplying. There's 42 million African Americans, last count, in America. And they are now it's beginning to dwindle. We were the largest group of any ethnic group in America. The Germans were next. There are 40 million Germans, German Americans. African Americans are first, 42 million. German Americans next, and everybody else is a long distance, a long second place down, the Anglos, the all of them way back, the Irish, Irish Americans, the Italian Americans, the Spaniards from Spain, the Colombian Americans, the Puerto Rican Americans, all of them way back. They strike the African American out by saying, "Oh, these are Hispanics." There's no such people as Hispanic. Use your own thinking. There's no such people as Hispanic. They don't have a place of origin. People have to come from a land. We come out the land. Everyone comes out the land. Hispanic does not come out the land. Latino does not come out the land. They're made up things to deceive and manipulate the mind of African-American people to not to understand what's going on around them. It's a psych. A psych. Rainbow Coalition. A psych. All that is a psych because they know the African-American is not thinking and walking at the same time. But we can. And we must. So we want to take a short break, too, but we want to also remind you that you have an opportunity to ask questions, make statements, and just be to the point. We want to take a short pause and listen to another break here and come right back and answer any questions. Raise your hand. I don't see anything going off here. Maybe, let me see. Let me see. That didn't go out. Okay, you have to reload. We're having a tough time with this blog talk today. Sometimes we have to get into the mode of controlling our own destiny. Stop allowing people to manipulate us.
Yes, brother, ma'am.
Now I can hear you now. Whoever that
yes,
I can hear you.
Yes, I'll assist you on the studio board. You have two callers that have raised their hand.
Okay. Okay, tell them which one they are.
Okay. Erica, 914-6. Okay, let me try it again. Wait a minute. 914-434. Can you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Yes, this is Muhammad Sharif calling from Mount Vernon, New York. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother.
Right. Okay, I'll say something a little bit different. If that's okay.
Yeah, we're having a little problem with the studio board here. But go ahead, brother.
Well, Imam Muhammad said in 1999, and that's it, in Cleveland, Ohio. Imam said, this is your day. It's not your day because we men don't deserve it. It's your day because you deserve it more than we deserve it. It's on our day, brother, if we support them. You want to get your day back? Support our women. Support our learned women. Sisters,
right.
I'm prepared to follow a female. It is my pleasure to follow a female leader. I'll leave that right there.
Alhamdulillah.
You know our situation when we were brought here and made slaves, no one came to our rescue for 400 years.
That's
so Allah
right.
blessed us with Professor Farhat Muhammad. And he made connection with Elijah Muhammad for putting that the past 45 years. It was those two. He brought us from white supremacy. We came into black man as God, into black supremacy. Now, when Imam Muhammad came in, he took us to pure Islam. He said, white man not God, black man not God, took us into true Islam.
Right.
Imam said something that helped save us when Imam Muhammad passed, because we didn't know what was going to happen when he passed. We had no idea what was going to happen. But praise be to Allah, Allah bless us with Imam W. Dean Muhammad.
That's right.
And right now we're in a situation now. That is, we have two people that are possibly going to be president. As Joe Biden, he's already the president. And we have other ends. Well, you know what Joe Biden said, he's going to continue to finance 10 weapons. Money and all of that, all technology, everything that's in his power to help annihilate the Palestinian people altogether. And on the other hand, we got President Trump. He said what he's going to do, he gets back in, he's going to come world dictator. He's going to go further than Hitler went. He's going to dictate, be dictated for the world. And a situation like that, that leaves us with nothing. No, what are we going to do? Praise be to Allah. We got help again. Cornel West. His running mate, his sister named Melina Abdullah. She's going to be his vice president. So Allah has blessed us with opportunity again because of our sincerity. Our sincerity, and that's what's saving us, and that's what Allah has given us more help this time. We don't look like no help is anywhere. Cornel West and his running mate, Melina Abdullah. You can go online and put in her name, Melinda Abdullah, in a cup and say something about her. That's how we're making this known, that Allah has come to our aid again with somebody else. You know?
Yes.
So I think we should pass that on, let people know. We pass it on. We're telling everybody we know. Cornel West, Melinda Abdullah. Thank you for taking those comments.
Yes. Yes, brother Imam, if you're still on there, I can't see the board at all. So if you can,
yes, sir, I'm on. Yes, sir, I'm going to mute Muhammad Sharif's mic, and if you press one, that'll take him out of the queue. And I'm opening up the mic of 708-698. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please. Take your phone off of mute. Okay, we won't linger any longer there. Error code 313-699. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Islam. Brother, I am Luqman Sadiq, the son of Mary Ilhaj Ramsey Gate. Born right here in the D, 91750, and count your blessings. You talk about a woman leader. Heaven on earth is at the feet of the mother, your first teacher. And if you do what your mama say, you ain't going to be dirty, you ain't going to be hungry, okay? Islam is the key. Islam 101. Back to the basics. Stay alive and don't let somebody else's problem be yours, because the problem solver ain't through with you. Okay, and read the written word, the spoken word, anything you bring the message to your mind is a word. It's, don't be no guinea pig for these doctors. If it ain't broke, you can't fix it. That COVID-19 mess ain't by accident. Stay alive. And even when it hurts, it don't hurt long. And know that there is a God. And just like he put you together when you was in your mama's stomach, he's still in control. Just do the right thing. Do what your mama said do. Okay? Islam is the key. The religion of all the prophets, from Adam to Muhammad. And all I can say is read, and you will know right from wrong. And I'm going to sign out right now, Islam, and just read. Google the wisdom of W.D. Muhammad. If you don't know, you will know. And I'm going to sign out because you talk so, they say you talk so much out your mouth, you give your ass a bad name. That's what Trump did.
Brother, we don't use that type of language on the airways of America Muslim 360, my brother. Alhamdulillah. Imam, there's one more that has raised their hand. Erico 314-337. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Rashid Salam, St. Louis, Missouri. Salam alaikum.
Alaikum as-salam.
Alaikum as-salam.
Yes, sir. Both brothers, man, thank you for letting me get on the line and say a little bit. I was just listening to your show, and you was just sharing some absolutely some of the most phenomenal things that most of us don't know about. I was in my class today, and that type of subject matter came up. But I just wondered if you had an opportunity to share a little bit about the culture, identity, and the problems that our young people are having because they don't have the interworkings, the interconnections, the interrelated types of concepts that really make them a thinking being. And this culture identity piece is really, really so important. And I just wanted you to share a little bit about that, Brother Matt, if you don't mind. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Wa alaikum assalam. Yes, brother, thank you so very much. And I pray everybody's hearing me because we've been having a whole lot of problems, not just on my end, something's going on here. But anyway, as to brother Imam, if you see that anybody raise their hands, please bring them in because I'm not sure on my end what's happening.
Yes, sir, I
do. Okay, the idea of culture is something that the European American does not teach the African American about. They tell us that we got a hip-hop culture and all those kind of things. They mislead us. Culture is the same as it always has been. It's never changed. It's always been that's the same. Culture refers to a cumulative deposit of knowledge, language, experience, beliefs, values, attitudes, meanings, hierarchies, religion, notions of time, roles, spiritual relationships, concepts of the universe, and material objects and possessions acquired by a group of people in the course of generations through individuals and groups striving. That's what culture is. And they don't tell us what our language is. You know, our foreparents, when they was trying to build Africa in America, because they're doing the same thing the Europeans are doing. If you notice that the European, when in America, when they came to America, they built what they had in Europe. They're like New York come from New York. New England come from places in England. All these terms are they were just trying to duplicate their culture. Our foreparents got the same idea. They got the same idea when they was stripped of their own culture. They got the same idea to build a new Africa. And this is why you see in some of the history of our people, you see a place called Africaville. You see Africa Town, Little Africa. All those terms were the mind of our people trying to encourage us to develop a culture that spoke to us, that developed us, and was for us. And they created a language called the Geechee language. Now, those of you who have been reading some of my materials, you probably read about that, and you should go and learn about that. The Geechee language is the language our foreparents invented so that they can communicate with one another. They wanted to collaborate, and they didn't want the European to understand what they was talking about. So they took the English language, especially from the part of Scotland and northern England, where they spoke this broken kind of English. And they took that language, and they mixed it with Arabic. They mixed it with the dialects of the African tribes that they could remember. And they also mixed it with Native American language. And they came up with this language called Geechee. And they called it Geechee because most of them was down in the area of South Carolina and Georgia where the Ogeechee River runs from northern all the way down to southern Georgia. And they called them the Geechee people. That was the first identification of our people in America. And that was the language they spoke. The Europeans didn't know what language they were speaking, but they knew what language they were speaking. They were able to communicate with each other. And many of them left plantations and built settlements in Florida and other places like Fort Moose because they were learning to speak to each other. That's the foundation of culture is language. So the European found out that we was speaking. They made fun of it. They wouldn't educate it. They wouldn't let us teach it in schools. They made us to teach just the English language in schools. I think we have another brother on. I think we had someone else on 434. Can you
just I'm going to open up his mic now. Eric, 434-851. 434-851. Please state your name and where you're calling.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Abdullah Zahid. I'm from the Danville, Virginia area.
Alhamdulillah.
I would like to say, Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. I just like to say, first and foremost, is that we give all praise and truth due to Allah. And we thank you, brothers, for bringing forth a reminder. And we always going to need a reminder. The Quran is a reminder. The Hadith is a reminder. Our mothers was a reminder. Our fathers was a reminder. Our imams was a reminder. And we don't stop reminding the people, brother, that we ride in the backs of those people, man, who suffered and died just because, not just because they wanted us to have what we call freedom. And, and freedom, freedom is a very deep concept that we lost contact with that word, freedom. You know, we need to be free from the need to be free. And once we establish that in our own heart, in our way of life, then we can see the coalition between the African people, the European people, et cetera, the Christian brothers, the Jewish brothers. See, but it's the divide and conquer aspect of the society that we fall victim to. So I don't want to go on and on. But I just want to say thank you, brothers. You know, for bringing forth, man, the truth. The truth can be proven.
Walaikum as-salam. And one thing we should all remember, truth belongs to all of us. It's not any one of us that has just the truth. The truth belongs to all of us. And our foreparents really tried and developed very hard on trying to get us to see that truth and understand that truth. Because when after they developed that language, they encouraged us to start building on what Imam Muhammad called New Africa. I know some of you probably remember when he said that. About New Africa. That's what he was talking about. He was talking about the building New Africa, just like the European built New York, New England, new places to remind them of where they came from and who they are. The New Africa reminds us about the potential that's in us. It lets us know that there's a great potential in us to grow and develop and build. And once we do that, we're going to see a whole different kind of America. Because wherever we go in America and wherever we develop, we change things because of our ingenuity, because of our ability, because our quickness, our thinking. We change things. We change the music. We didn't invent the piano. We didn't invent the banjo or none of those things. They say it came from Africa. Yes, we had things like that in Africa, but we didn't invent it because it was invented. But the Scottish people had their own kind of banjo. We didn't have the violin and things like that, the fiddle. We didn't have the trumpet and those things. But what we did, in fact, we didn't even have the music. We heard them trying to sing. We heard them trying to do things, and then we, our parents, took it and put it into something of their own. Their own spirit entered into the realm of creativity. And that spirit created a whole new music, whole new way of life in terms of the musical way of life, and is doing the same thing in education, same thing in science, all of those places. Our skills and ability, and I truly believe, I don't know how many of you believe this, what I was saying, I don't think I was getting carried away, because sometimes you do get sort of like carried away with the message. But I do believe that Allah is blessing us because of what happened to us, because of what happened to our foreparents, our ancestors. They didn't have a will of their own. They were put to death. They were raped. They were all those things, and they couldn't fight back. And I believe that Allah is blessing this generation to come away with this unique ability to evolve at such a high rate and high speed that we're leaving everybody else behind. And that's just my thinking. I'm not saying everybody should think like that, but that's I do a lot of research and a lot of study, and everything I research and study from Thomas Sowell and all the rest of them, that's what I see. I see that. My logic brings me to that conclusion. This is a just God that created this universe, a just God who created man. And the just God then has to pay us off somewhere along the line. Somewhere along the line, the children of the people who were persecuted during slavery have to get paid off. We ain't demanding it because we're in no competition with God. But God says he does that. He says he will give everything back what it justly deserves.
Everybody reads that, and Christians read it, Jews read it. He says he's a just God. So if he's a just God, then how, then where, what makes us think this is not the payback time? We don't need to look for reparation from the European. We just need to look into our own abilities and skills that's been that's cemented in us from the conditions that happened before us and what is in us now to become very productive and move into, on the world forefront. I know I went a little further than what you were saying, brother, but that's what I believe that this is our opportunity to grow and develop. And I want to all remind you now, we have a program coming on after this program. We have Courtships of Marriage to be coming on in just about 5 to 10 minutes. And that's a beautiful program. Be sure to tune in. And we didn't get all our announcements in today because of whatever is going on with this blog talk. I couldn't get them in. But I want to just remind all of you, we're here every week. Every week, AM 360 is on every week, 7 days a week, different hosts on each program, giving us all some information and knowledge about what is relevant to us, what pertains to us, how we can best use it to grow. Then one of the biggest things that I see and I believe you all encourage is the fact that it opens the door to collaboration. It gives us the opportunity to collaborate with one another so we then can move forward and benefit from that collaboration, benefit from the ability to contradict one another and at the same time answer some questions for one another. We shouldn't think that we have to agree all the time. That's not why man was created. Allah said if he wanted one human being, he just created one. No, he created us different. So we have different opinions. That's where progress comes from. If we don't learn how to argue with one another in a collaboration, if we don't learn how to do that, then we can't make progress. It's impossible. Progress is not made through silence. Progress is made through hammers and nails and things coming together, making noise and putting the ideas and concepts in the other's minds is not there. And they even struggle getting those ideas in there. And once they struggle and see what it can be, then they can begin to grow and develop. We're supposed to bring a beautiful argument, the Quran says. Present a beautiful argument, especially to each other. Who are we going to present an argument, a beautiful argument to if it's not to each other? We need to contradict each other and then at the same time offer some good solutions and be able to take information from each other. Be able to take a brother saying, oh, no, I don't think that's correct, or being able to take a brother saying, yeah, that is correct. We have to learn this art. In fact, the Quran says about collaboration, it causes a shura bainahum, and it's mentioned with the pillars of Islam. It's mentioned as one of the pillars of Islam, not the five pillars, but in certain ayat is mentioned in there with two or three of them at the same time. The ability to come together and make decisions by questioning each other. Shura bainahum, by questioning each other, collaborating on pros and cons. We get used to that, we make a lot of progress. If we can just get used to talking with each other, and not necessarily agreeing with each other, but talking with each other to bring about ideas and concepts that's within us, that the ideas in our mind, the mathematics that's in our mind that we can bring out just by the association of words with each other, by saying yay or nay. We don't have to agree, but we do have to communicate. And if we do communicate, we can begin to build. We can develop. That's what the European American does not want us to do. This is why they keep us fighting against one another. This is why they keep us talking about we can't unite. This is why they keep us talking about how we can't come together, because they don't want us to come together because they know the power in collaboration. That's what culture does. Brother brought up the moment ago, culture. Culture brings together the power of the people to be able to collaborate with one another. It's important for us as African Americans to embrace our culture, that which our foreparents have established, and that which we are building on today. We're still developing as a culture. We're evolving as a culture. And we have to make that kind of evolutionary growth, something that stands out, something that's good, something that's wonderful, something that's great. And we can't be afraid of something that's great. We can't be afraid of something that's good and wonderful in us. We're not just to bow our heads. Sometimes we have to lift them up to see where we're going. And that's one of the things that the European does not want us to do. But we're coming around. And that coming around is a matter of time, a matter of working together, a matter of collaboration. And I definitely want to thank you all for coming and listening tonight. And be sure to come back next week. We're here every week on Tuesdays, p.m., 5 to 7 p.m., and that's Inheriting the Power of Mental Freedom here on AM 360. So be sure to tune in next week and bring your questions and anything you thought about today, write it down. And then next week, we're going to have a guest, but we still will have time to answer questions. So be sure to come back with your questions, and we go do our best to answer them. So we want to thank you all once again, and may Allah continue to bless you as I greet you in the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.